This week, Ruby's going to make me love myself.
You better love yourself.
We're going to discuss all the ways that we, quote unquote, inspire each other. And I'm inspired to kill Ruby. It's all next on The Swirl.
Hi, I'm Ruby.
And I'm Cody.
And this is The Swirl.
Ruby, I need to talk to you about something that happened to me.
Oh, no!
I was assaulted by a child in an airport. And it shan't stand. Do you hear me? It shan't stand.
Oh my god. Okay, wait. So set the scene. I have like a million, like, how old was this kid? Was this insecurity? Like, what happened?
You know, Chris Rock had a joke years ago where he said that there's a reason to kick a 70-year-old down a flight of stairs. Like, anybody at any age could get it.
Yeah.
And there's this really fun video that's floating around Facebook where this, I believe it's an Asian man, is walking around the streets asking black and white people what their worst ass whooping was. And the black people are like, when I was 5, I did blah, 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 and my parents whooped my ass. Yeah. And then he'd ask the white people, and they'd be like, what's this ass whooping you're speaking about?
I will tell you, I have an ass whooping story. I have two. See? Yeah. I got two.
Not everybody gets away unscathed. Ooh. So I'm in the airport waiting to come back from Chicago back to D.C. where I live.
Where'd you fly out of, Midway or O'Hare? This is an important question.
My first flight was Midway. My second was O'Hare.
Okay. O'Hare is a hot, steaming mess. It's a
O'Hare
mess.
O'Hare was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And you know sometimes when people try to warn you that something's terrible and you're like, oh, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, there's everyone no said, way it's that
everyone
bad.
Said, avoid O'Hare. And uh-huh. I was like, I grew up in the hood. It's fine. And then I got there and I was like, milk was a bad choice. Like, immediately regretted my decision.
But like, right? Like, how many people can they jam in one airport? It's like insane.
It was crazy. And the fact that like there were little to no food options that didn't involve fried foods baffled
yes!
me.
Yes! Say it again for the people in the back. And can we also talk about how there were no mother effing charge stations or outlets?
Yeah.
Like, in 95% of the freaking gates at O'Hare? Like, what are you doing, O'Hare? What?
It was a very strange experience. So, I am approaching my gate, and I notice that there is a man holding a baby and a mother who is chasing around what had to be a 3 or 4 year old kid.
Oh, God.
And everyone in the gate, it just has the look of like beaten down and defeated.
Uh-huh.
Like you know, like how when you go to the supermarket and you are standing in a long line and then somebody comes up behind you in the line and they go, ugh. And you're like, bitch, I've been here.
Right.
Way
no,
longer.
Seriously.
You can't be disgusted.
You just read my soul. Like, I feel like you understand me so well right now, because 95% of my life is when people come up and are like, ugh, and I'm like, motherfucker. Like, do you
and they're
see
muttering
me
behind
here?
Their breath. They're muttering behind their breath. Come on, man, dude. And you're like, stop it.
We're all in the same boat
here, buddy.
Yeah, no, totally. And then, like, yeah, no, O'Hare, like, I'm already picturing this. Like, I feel like our listeners need to understand that the gates are very small at O'Hare, one. Two, there are, like, twice the amount of people that the fire marshal would allow normally to be in those gates. So when you're saying that there's a child running around or being chased, that's giving me panic in my heart, because there's no running around.
Right.
It's bumping into other adults is what that child was doing, because those gates at O'Hare are small and they're packed like sardines.
And it's not only running around, it's that high-pitched squealing that you're, I don't care if you're wearing Bose noise-canceling headphones, I literally think it's a rape whistle. Like, I agree, and you're like, who needs help?
It, like, pierces through your brain, right?
It does.
No, you're right. It's horrible.
It's horrible. So the mother is, like, the flight attendant's trying to, like, apparently get their flight switched to, like, an earlier flight, which I was all about. Like, okay, if we don't have to
right.
be flying
I'll
together.
I'll pay for her to have the earlier flight.
But she is carrying on about, like, changing their seat assignment so that, like, the kid won't be able to run through the plane. Like, clearly everybody notices that this is about to be an issue. Mm-hmm. And the mother keeps apologizing, just saying, like, well, we're just getting back from Spain, and his sleep schedule is just all off. But she's not, like, asserting and saying, like, stop. She's just, like, she just keeps going, I don't know, like, what should we do? That's what she keeps saying to her husband. What should we do? What should we do? So I'm over here giving the stink eye and trying to, like, focus on something. So I'm trying to read a book, and I'm trying to listen to, like, my music through my headphones that are clearly,
none of that,
like,
was happening, was
not
it?
Like, no, I can't concentrate. I can't hear the percussion in the song.
Listen, I've been trying to read a book at Zachary's swim lessons, and swim lessons are anxiety-inducing for me. One, because there's a ton of children, two, because your child can drown and die. And, so I, like, try to read the book, and every time I, like, can't. So I totally relate to that. Like, I'm trying to do something else, but I just cannot do it.
Right. So they're letting this kid, like, run around. So the parents, they have their, you know, the guy's holding the baby, the mom, and the wife is talking to the husband, and the child is just wandering. And the kid picks up what appears to be, like, a Lego block.
Okay.
And I see the kid hanging out the Lego block, and then I go back to my book, and then I feel the Lego block pelt me in my forehead.
What?
So I immediately look at the kid. The kid, like, freezes in place for a moment, and then I look over at the parents, and the parents aren't, like, they're not even looking. So I stand up from where I'm sitting, and I walk towards them, and I just sort of said, like, oh, so we're just out here just hitting people, and parents aren't doing anything? And then I walk away from them.
What, like, did they say?
You deal with it. I go to another seat, and then the father, like, approaches, and he goes, excuse me, sir, did my son hit you with that Lego? And I was like, yeah, he did. And the mother is looking like she can't believe, like, oh, my son did this thing. And I just look at them, and I was like, I suggest that you guys figure out what to do with this child before someone else does.
Yeah.
And, like, the room stopped. So then I'm looking like the person who is talking about, like, willfully, like, assaulting a kid. But it was just sort of like, well, this has been going on for, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Reel it in.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me, like, you know, because when you're traveling, I understand, like, parenting is tough. But there's a difference between, like, what people accept in their home versus, like, what you can accept in public. Like, after a certain period of time, not everyone, like, it's, I guess it's white, is it white noise? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Does it become white noise for a parent?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It does. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is, like, when it's your kid, like, the thing is, I don't like other people's children's noise, like, at all. Like, I can't handle if I hear a kid squeal or scream, but, or cry. My kid I can ignore. Oh, yeah. Like, whoop, my brain, like, whoop, goodbye. And that's just, it's a coping mechanism, because I'm telling you, it's a lot of stimuli, like, coming into my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And listen, I'll tell you, I think, so I've traveled alone recently without my son. I've traveled with Zachary a whole lot. I am a really, really, I'm like you. Like, I'm considerate to the point of, like, you don't have to be that considerate. Like, right. Just because I know how hard it is to be around other people and be around children. Like, I'm overly considerate. I feel like other people are, like, the freaking opposite. It's so frustrating. Like, They don't take into consideration that other people are affected by, like, their bad parenting or their poor choices. It's really upsetting. No, I totally feel you.
I was much younger when this was happening, but I worked at, like, a clothing store when I was in my, like, late teens. And you, like, these people would, like, descend upon the store with their kids and just, like, let the kids run all over the store while they shopped. And at, like, one point I remember, like, having to walk up to somebody and being like, we're not your child's babysitter. Like, your child needs to be with you, and they need to keep a, like, respectful level. And you would have thought that I called somebody a whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, like, I have empathy. Like, I just took Zachary back to school shopping, but I literally sat him at the cart and said, sit here and read this book and don't move. And he didn't.
Yeah.
But that's also why I only have one.
Yeah. I offered to get the kid a nip of Jameson. I was like, what do we need? He hasn't slept, you say?
Brandy? Let's remedy this. Let's give him some brandy, you guys.
Will a mild concussion help?
You're just out here in the street threatening violence to strange children. I love it. I'm about it.
Look, when I was growing up, my parents would give a nice little, like, pinch to the ribs.
You know that pinch, though. There's a different, like, Oof. Tone, right? Because, like, there's the regular pinch. There's the, I will kill you in front of other people.
Exactly.
Right here. If you freaking, yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Totally. Mm. And I have to say, like, it's interesting in the dynamic with my parenting is, like, sometimes, like, you're just so exhausted. You're like, am I going to fight this battle? Am I going to fight this battle? Am I going to fight this battle? And, like, I'll tell you what. Normally, I'm the one who reaches the point where I'm like, listen, if you don't get your shit together right now, I'm going to take you to an orphanage. Like, if you need to get it together right now. And he usually will shape up. But I'm the mean one, definitely, in the family. Like, you'd think. But daddy's the softy.
Yeah, there's always the one with the soft touch. And then there's always the one who's, like, the disciplinarian. And I know that if I were the parent, I see the world in a certain way, and the right is right and wrong is wrong, and there would not be a lot of wiggle room for a child.
I'm the one who busts, so, like, do you know in, like, international relations, there's soft power and hard power?
Uh-huh.
So, like, soft power is, like, the negotiations and, like, the treaties. Hard power is, like, bitch, I got a gun. Right. Like, I'm the hard power in our house. I'm like, you sit down and you shut up and you don't say another word. And, like, I've done this thing with Zachary where he'll be like, but you're not listening. I'm like, but, and he'll be like, but. I'm like, no. And he's like, Yeah, no, mom, I'm kind of bad cop in our home, but that's okay. I accept my spot.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we'll be back in just a second with a little chat that Ruby wants to have. We'll see what that's about.
In the feels, baby, in the feels.
We'll be right back.
Hey guys, the other day on Twitter there was a conversation about podcasts, and of course Cody would have remembered and written down who was tweeting about this, but I didn't and I don't remember. But at some point they were saying that the best podcasts are two hosts that can learn from each other. And it got me thinking about all of the different things that Cody and I learn from each other, and specifically for me, all of the things I learned from Cody, because honestly, he makes me level up so much. So I text messaged Cody and I said, how about we have a conversation on the podcast where we talk about the things that each of us learns from each other?
I think at this point she's learned that I don't like being self-reverential, and this makes me itch. But we're going to go with it.
Yeah. Well, come on. You, I listen to your date horror stories about blood and guts. And so I feel like this is how you're going to repay that debt is by doing softy feely, things. And so, it's up to
our listeners.
You.
I'm dead inside and she won't allow me to remain that way.
Well, mostly I just want you to let me love on you. I don't necessarily need you. See, that's the thing. We have to be clear here. It's not so much that you have a problem loving on me, because that's not the problem. You are, like, that's one of my things, is that you're very generous with your friends.
Uh-huh.
But that it's more that you don't like to hear me love on you. So, like, you're literally, like, where, like, putting your finger, you're like, I don't want to know.
I'm holding myself right now.
So you just tell me, like, how you want to do this, in what pace would make you feel comfortable and consensual here, so that you're not feeling like this is non-consensual.
Yeah, I don't want you just going all in. I definitely need you to tease the hole a little bit.
Okay. Ah, Jesus. All right, yeah, so you,
we'll trade off. We'll do,
okay.
You'll do one, I'll do one.
Okay, do you want me to go first?
You... This is all you.
Okay. So since I already kind of mentioned it, let's start with that. Cody, one of the things Cody teaches me is how to be a generous friend. Cody is thoughtful and generous with the people he loves. He gives wonderful gifts. He's sent with beautiful cards. He makes you feel loved and special. I have no idea, honestly, how he has the time or energy to do these things, but he does, and he shows up with consistency. He's a reliable friend. He's there when you need him. He answers texts and emails. He's engaged. He motivates me to level up and to show up for people in my life in the same way, and being generous with my time, my energy, and my other gifts. So there's that. Are you, like, scratching your face up?
Kind of telling my secrets.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Thank you. I will say that Ruby's not afraid of having a second act. Once Ruby's son was off to school in this last year, she dedicated herself to a whole bunch of exploits that she had been wanting to do. So she went back to work. She began yoga training. And additionally, she took on adding this podcast to her weekly endeavors. This podcast happened because of her, and it happened because of her exuberance and her excitement. And I really enjoy seeing her flourish in this last year. A lot of times when you have a family, you have to make concessions and you have to put a lot of your dreams on the back burner. And I really do think that you had a very like keen eye for like, okay, when it's my turn back at bat, I'm getting in this game. And I really do admire you for that.
Jeez Louise, I'm gonna cry.
Why are you doing this to us?
I know, I'm sorry. I just love you so much. That just goes to the point, like, you know me, and that's so wonderful to be known and still loved. Like, that's such a, we're gonna be crying by the end of this. Alright, I'm already crying, it's bad. I don't know
if I can make a five, you might have to do three. What are you doing?
All right. Well, if we're going to do three, let me see what the
I
next...
mean, no. If you need to do five, do five.
I wrote them down, Cody.
You're prepared. This is an anomaly. Go for it.
I know. Okay, ready? So what? Something else Cody teaches me is how to work hard for the things that I want. Cody never shies away from a challenge. He immediately starts asking questions to develop a plan. There has never, and I mean never, this is not hyperbole, been a time when Cody has reacted to a challenge with defeat. He's always ready to sit up a little straighter and get to work.
I'll take that. Thank you.
It's
again,
true.
Now I'm going to have to level up on my damn self. I will say that you aren't afraid to learn new things or immerse yourself in the experiences of others. This is a time in the world where I think people no longer can hide behind a veil of apathy or excuses. And we have to sort of like acknowledge that we live different experiences and that not everyone has the same journey. And I think you do an admirable job of recognizing that and trying to challenge yourself to see other sides. I think that's a very beautiful thing.
Thank you. Cody, I know I'm a mess. I'm such a mess. Okay, Cody.
I can't believe this.
I'm so happy we're doing this, though. Both of our cheeks are, like, so, like, high up by our eyeballs.
I am so uncomfortable.
I know.
Go ahead.
But it's so good, because it's so good. Okay, so something else Cody teaches me is how to be a critical thinker.
Mm.
Cody is curious and thoughtful. He does not accept things at face value. He asks thoughtful questions. He brings the receipts. He wants to look at life from every single angle possible. And you don't let people get away with being lazy in their own situation of seeing things only the way they want to look at it. Even if they're one of those people that says, oh, I'm a thoughtful person. I'm a critical thinker. There's no way. There's nobody I know who is as thoroughly critical of things and the way the things are and the way things could be. And I really love that about you. One thing I wish is you wouldn't turn it so much on yourself. love how critical you are of the world and how you look at things. It's really, really amazing.
Well, thank you. As soon as I realize how to figure that out, I'll be sleeping through an evening.
And I wish that's my wish for you. I lift it up for you on a regular basis.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you. I wanted to say that I think that you are a very motherly and sisterly presence. Some people are meant to be caretakers and some people are meant to be support. And I think that you are just a really warm personality. And I think that once someone is in your trust tree nest, as they say, they're there. And that is whether it's a person from social media or a person you've grown up with, I think they all get the same level of exuberance. And that's really totally. Admirable.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I love this.
Are you
this
on your like, period?
No. Oh, I'm finishing. You're right. God damn it, Cody. He even knows my menstrual cycle, you guys.
Oh, God.
Cody loves me.
Oh, God.
I love you so much. All right. Cody teaches me how to be a professional. Cody is one of the most talented people I know. Unlike so many creatives I know, myself very much included, he is not messy or disorganized. He is put together, thorough, dependable. He represents himself well in every situation. He takes pride in how he looks, the work he does, and it shines through in every... I just burped. It shines through in every single thing he does. And I really appreciate that about Cody.
Well, thank you. Oh, boy.
We're almost there. Come on, we can do it.
So in addition to you being a supportive person, you also live a life of service. And I think when I look back at your resume, it's filled with all the ways that you want to engage the world civically and bring people together. And we really need more of that in the world. So thank you.
Oh, jeez, we're gonna cry. All right, so this, the last one, I think, is one of my favorite things about you.
Okay.
And so it's kind of two things at once. So, Cody, you teach me how to be a good editor and how to be funny. So, I wrote this down because I want to make sure I got all my points. So, Cody is one of the funniest people I know. He is a student of comedy. He knows that sometimes the punchline is even better when you hold back. He makes me more thoughtful with my words. His example shows me where to pull punches and when to lean all the way in. His love of a well-done joke, a good story motivate me to keep at it, to try again, but to also let it breathe.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. I'm much better at comedy than I am emotions, so...
Oh, good. Is this one funny?
That was funny. That was funny. No, thank you for that one. So finally, I will say that I truly appreciate your spirit, Ruby. You have determined to be authentic to yourself, even if others don't always appreciate it. And you let me know that from day one, and it made me appreciate you knowing yourself and being true to yourself. And I think. That it takes a lot of courage. I know this from growing up and having to make yourself smaller in situations. It takes a lot of strength to just walk into a room and say, for better or for worse, and you have a lot more better than you have worse, I'm going to be myself. And it really has helped me to sort of, I think, be defiant. Like, okay, this... We're going to go into the situation. We don't really know each other. We're learning about each other as we go. But I see all these things in this person that I think people will ultimately see. So thank you for rocking with me on this journey.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I just want to say, thank you, Cody, that I think if you are feeling like there's not a lot of light in the world, which I know that I feel a lot lately, that if you want to borrow this exercise and do it with someone else in your life, listeners, I would encourage you to do that because this was really amazing. I think, Cody, right? It was hard. It was hard. I didn't like it at first either. But I would encourage our listeners to do this with somebody important in your life and think of five things that this person taught you and tell them. Because Cody and I have talked. This is our 51st recording. And this is probably the most emotional, like, real rawness that we've had with each other. And I think that it might have just changed my whole month right here. Aww. Like, I think that I feel really, like, my cup got filled up just now. And so I would encourage listeners for you to do the same to somebody in your life who's taught you something and have them reciprocate in kind.
And speaking of that, Ruby, you mentioned earlier that I send cards to people. And I'm going to give some of my trade secrets away. It's not just on a birthday. It's literally, sometimes it's the third Thursday of a month, But send somebody that you've been thinking about or you haven't talked to in a while or you just wish that you could tell them you love them, send them a card once in a while or just do something for them. It does way more for you than you realize, even though it's something beautiful for somebody else. But I really do believe that we don't get the flowers while we're here. So in a lot of ways, I try to bring that forward in life. I try to do it my own little way. I don't try to broadcast it on a podcast. But
sorry, I'm please, thinking you're blowing up your spot.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize. But it's important. And I think the world that you want will be reflected in those sorts of behaviors. Mm-hmm. So I am really trying to be living proof that you can just go out here and be a good person, and hopefully it works out, or hopefully it balances out some of the evil.
Yep, that's exactly it. Well, thank you so much, Cody. I love you.
I love you, Ruby. Even though you're making me feel things.
I know.
Everybody, we will be back in just a moment with this week's
Here for It. Oh my god, I can't believe we just did that. I have to admit, like, I also was super uncomfortable. Seriously, like, it was really hard to let somebody say nice things about me. But I think, you know what it is? I think you and I are people who constantly are taking care of other people. And we are not used to having the spotlight put on ourselves. And sure. So it was super easy for me to talk about how much I love and care about you. But, like, I literally was, like, ducking into my sweatshirt like a turtle when you were talking about me.
My high school mentor retired a few years ago, and the students that he had through his 30 plus years of teaching, they did a roast for his retirement party, and it was a surprise, and I was the last person to speak, and I had just watched him, and he's a very humble person, and I really think of him as a second father. He was like recoiling in his seat, because at a certain point you're like, I can't take this. You see this at weddings too. You see people at weddings, like, by the third toast, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah, don't stop saying nice things.
We've been talking about me all day at this event that's about me. Yeah. It's just like, it's overwhelming. So,
do you know what's even funnier?
Again, thank you.
If you asked other people about, like, you or I separately and were like, does Cody like being the center of attention? Does Ruby like being the center of attention? A lot of people would be like, hell yeah, they do. Because we're the funny, talkative ones, but, like, truly, it's part of why I didn't have, like, a quote-unquote real wedding, because I did not want people looking at me walking down an aisle in a big fluffy dress. I was, like, not about that life. The idea of that, even now, is making my whole inside curl up a snail. Like, I can't even deal with it. It's too much.
I joke all the time, it's going to be a justice-of-the-peace situation, and I will determine if that person is my person by their response.
Hell yeah. No, right. Just... There were 13 people at my wedding. Two of them were Ron and I. So there were 11 people at my wedding. I'm about that life. So I need to know, what are you here for this week, Cody?
Well, my friends, I've spent my life being the tortoise. Oh my god, I gotta say that again. I spent my life being tortoise. I said tortoise.
What is a tortoise? Okay, sorry, let's start.
It's a person who can't enunciate, apparently. So I've spent my entire life being the tortoise, and I've had no problem being next to hares because I have always had faith that I'm gonna get there eventually, and when I do, it'll be sustained versus being quick.
Okay.
So lately, I've been enjoying the work of Ryan Holiday. He has two great books that I've been working my way through. One is Ego is the Enemy, which was released last year. And his book, The Obstacle is the Way, The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph, came out in 2014. What I love about the book, Ego is the Enemy, is that he provides real-world examples of people from all different types of industries, like literature, history, sports, and entertainment. And he shows you the way that these people found power and success by letting go of their ego. The book shows all the ways if you can put your ego aside and commit yourself to learning and accepting criticism, you won't be blinded to your faults or unexpected problems that will arise. And in this era of social media and reality TV, it's always refreshing to see that hard work can be validated. So I strongly recommend Ryan Holiday's The Ego is the Enemy. It's available everywhere.
Ooh.
And it's selling like hotcakes.
I'm gonna have to.
Do people say hotcakes anymore?
I mean, I want hotcakes. That sounds really good.
All the time.
yeah, this no carb, this low carb life, this no green life is killing me. There's no pancakes in my life. It's very sad. No, I'm going to have to check that out.
What about you, Ruby? What's going on?
My girlfriend, Haley Kroom, owns a, runs and owns a soap company out of her home called Paint Box Soap Works. It's a lot to say, so I don't. It's paintboxsoapworks.com. And Haley makes these amazing sugar scrubs. So the thing is like, you can get a good sugar scrub just about anywhere. The thing I love about Haley is she hand mixes them and she hand blends the scents, okay? And so the scents also change on a seasonal basis. So 4 times a year, I usually drop some cash and get a nice big box full of these sugar scrubs. And I use them until I run out, and then I put in another order. So
you just make sure you stuff a lot of things into your box when you order?
I do like to stuff quite a bit into my box. Thank you. Very nice smelling things into my box.
That's my girl.
So, but Haley owns this company. She's based out of York, Pennsylvania. I'm all about helping, you know, small businesses who do really great work. She makes these amazing sugar scrubs. She has both feminine and masculine smells. And you guys need to get on it because her Halloween stuff is kind of my favorite stuff. And it's all coming in the next couple months. So it's Paint Box Soap Works. She's both on Facebook when she announces the releases of her new scents. And then she has her own website where you can do the ordering. And her sugar scrubs are seriously freaking heaven because they emulsify on your body and they make your skin super soft. And so I'm all about, some of my favorite scents are the Englishman, which is smells like tobacco and leather. She says it's supposed to smell like Doctor Who when he was exclusively male, but I wear the Englishman because women can wear masculine scents too. And then Dead Leaves on the Dirty Ground, which is like smoky. It's like one of her fall scents. I love it. So get on that. Some small business, one woman show, amazing sugar scrubs. And you know, that end of summer gunk that you're trying to get off your feet and your elbows and your knees before fall, that sugar scrub life is the life you need to be living. So that's what I'm here for this week.
Very cool. Well, everybody, we will be back in just a moment with this week's Q&A. Hey! Stay tuned.
We're getting better at that harmonizing stuff. All right, everyone, we're back for some Q&A. Hey! Dear Cody and Ruby, my fiancé and I have lived together for over a year now, so many of the things that we would have registered for, we already have. We're considering registering for more practical types of gifts and offering our friends and family the option of donating money for our honeymoon or other startup expenses, maybe savings towards the house we want to buy in a couple years. I have thought of asking specific friends for certain types of gifts as well. For example, one friend is a very talented graphic designer, and I might ask her to design my thank you cards. She is a recent college graduate like me, so I think it would be easier for her financially, and I would consider it a tremendous gift if she's willing. Is this an appropriate request? Thanks. Trying to be practical.
So, I think it would depend on if this was a destination wedding for the people who are being asked for certain goods.
Uh-huh.
Because then that becomes a multiplier. And a lot of times, you know, let's say if I have a wedding in Napa and I've had to pay for airfare and travel and hotel, you know, my gift might be small.
Right.
Because I put out to be here.
Cody puts out, you guys.
Not as much as I'd like to.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
But I think that depends. Now, if, let's say, for instance, like, on average, if somebody was doing graphic design work, let's say, reasonably, somewhere from $70 to $120 an hour, somebody could command for some sort of design work. So, you know, is there a cap at, you know, at 3 hours? And, you know, then you have somebody saying, again, I think that's a stressor that you ultimately don't want. There's something valid to, and I'm not just talking about graphic design, but there's something valid to having to pay someone for services that is not connected to you. Because you can annoy them. You're paying to annoy them. That's part of the process.
Yes.
But when it's, but I've definitely, like, I've been in that situation from a good standpoint where somebody's like, well, can we just try this? And you're like, yes, for me to try that is an additional $80. Like, that's, right. there's something that's connected to that. And when, I think when you're in a gratis situation or gratis?
Right, yeah.
Gladys?
Yeah, night? Gladys.
And the Pips. Midnight Train in Georgia?
And the Pips.
Yeah. Suddenly, it's very ambiguous, and I think that can lead to resentment, and who has time for that before a wedding?
I think can lead to resentment. You should replace the word can to will lead to resentment.
Oh,
I have to say, like, as somebody who does work, like, in social media, and, who gets paid an hourly rate, who gets paid by billable hours, I actually think that it's worth your time and her time and money to have there be a monetary amount ascribed, given to your time, her time. Mm-hmm. Because I think, like, money, this is going to sound crazy because it's such a duh thing. Money puts value on the time. And when there's not a value put on the time, it's very easy to waste people's time. Because, well, it's for free, and she's just doing it, like, for me. The thing is that most people who do things like Cody and I do, like, on an hourly rate, where we, you know, there's a fixed rate at the beginning, and then there's additional things you can get for more money, that means that both you and she are subscribing a value to that time. So, mm-hmm. I think her work would build, like, I think my work is better when I'm being paid for it. Not that I don't, and that's just because I'm like, this is for money, this is for this much time, this is a tangible, concrete thing. So, I think for the graphic design thing, you absolutely pay her fee. And then she decides if she wants to gift it to you, or she decides if she wants to give you something else as a gift. And I also don't love the idea, like, I know weddings have kind of devolved into this whole thing where we register for such and such a thing, and people get us such and such a things. But, like, to me, a gift is a gift. It's something someone's giving you willingly. And I don't like the idea of, like, this quid pro quo thing. And, like, what you're doing is you're taking maybe what the unwritten rules of wedding gifting are, and then you're putting it into, okay, I'm gonna invite you to my wedding, and you can, like, do graphic design for me. Like, I think that kind of makes it icky. It makes it not, like, this friendship thing. It makes it not as spontaneous. So I really think you should offer to pay your friend whatever her hourly fee, her going hourly fee is for it. I think her work will be better. I think your friendship will be better. And I think that it's actually, like, the right thing to do.
Well, I completely agree. And good luck to, what's the person's name who wrote
Trying to be practical.
Good luck trying to be practical.
Your face! I just, I can't, there's, like, a lot of things being unsaid right here, and I kind of love it, so we're gonna leave those things, remember, we gotta learn how to pull the punches. I'm just gonna leave that there. Alright, we'll be back when Cody takes us to church for the good word. And we're back, you guys. It's time for Cody to take us to church. It's time to hear the good word. What do you have for us, Cody?
Oh my goodness. So the web is telling me that this quote comes from the sixth god himself, Wheelchair Jimmy, aka the Pride of Toronto, Drake.
Oh my god.
And the internet is so funny because you'll see Instagram posts that attribute Maya Angelou quotes to Abraham Lincoln as if he was talking about the sway in his hips. All right. I mean, wait. I mean, there were some Abraham Lincoln was gay rumors out there, but you know what I mean.
Oh my god, there's so much to dissect there, but I know we're not even going to be able to get to it. I'm just going to have to talk to you about that later. Let's just
not
remind
enough time
us to talk
this
about
supersized
that
episode
later.
All right. Anyway, here's the quote. No matter how dirty your past is, your future is always spotless. So
I love it.
I do too. And to our listeners, let it serve as a reminder that where you start doesn't have to be where you finish. Unless you're talking about sex.
I was going to say, unless both of you finish. You just make sure both of you finish at the same time, or at least both of you finish. like, that's where I was going.
We made it filthy. It was going to be beautiful. We made it filthy.
I know. Listen, but listen, our past can be dirty, but our future, the next moment can be clean. It can be spotless.
We're trying to be better, people. We're trying to be better.
We're out here trying our best.
Quiet as it's kept, this is officially my favorite episode ever.
It totally is. I love you so much, Cody, and I love all of our listeners. Don't forget, you can follow us at Swirl Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Send us your questions for Q&A. Make us work for it, you guys, at swirlpodcast@gmail.com. And special shout out to our girl, Justine, who helps us with our social media. And
thanks, Justine.
You can totally catch Cody on Twitter at Step2TheMic. And you can catch me, Ruby, at RubyJunkie on Twitter. Did I say that? Oh, God, my tongue is tied.
One more time for the cheap seats.
And you can catch me, Ruby, at RubyJunkie on Twitter also. Thanks so much for joining us. You guys know the deal. The party doesn't end.
It just relocates.
Oh my God, our next episodes are here. Anniversary.